This is the Psychic Artist Podcast. I'm your host, Sarah Rossiter. I'm an artist, writer, and psychic medium living in Hawaii. This show is about people who are intuitive and creative, and what the process of integrating that awareness looks and feels like, and how we can access and develop that place inside of us all that is supremely psychic. For today's episode, I speak with Andrea Kennedy. She is a Reiki master, and I found her work online through her YouTube channel called Mainstream Reiki, where she offers Reiki to you through the videos. She also teaches Reiki and offers mentoring, and we talk about her journey and her thoughts about this amazing practice that supports the body's natural ability to heal itself through life force energy. I hope you enjoy. Hi everyone, I'd like to share with you that my Creativity and Consciousness course for 2022 starts on January 19th. It's a 10-week online live course, and I've decided to extend the discounted December sign-up price until January 12th. So if you're interested, please go to my website to learn more. There is a payment plan option as well. I've designed this course to support you in connecting with your source of creativity and expressing your authentic voice. So whether it's through art, music, writing, or podcasting, I'm here to help you go deeper. In addition, there will be excellent guest speakers joining and sharing their unique practices, including author Mark Gober, creative entrepreneur Laura Michelle Powers, emotion code practitioner Rebecca Packard, and time waiver therapist Derek Nakamura. You will also be joining a supportive community of artists where we share our work weekly and get feedback through our ongoing private Facebook group. I look forward to welcoming you to this expansive experience, and you can go to my website, sararossiter.com/trainings, to learn more. So welcome, Andrea Kennedy, to the Psychic Artist Podcast. I'm so happy to have you. I'm excited to talk about Reiki with you today. Please share with us what you do.
Oh, thank you so much, Sarah. It's a real pleasure to be here with you as well. I am a Reiki master. I started Reiki back in 1995, way back when there was hardly anything out there, really, as far as literature or different support or in our practice. I don't think I ever heard of a Reiki share, where we get together and share Reiki with each other for years after I took my first class. So, things have really changed over the last 20 something years of my Reiki practice. And, now I am primarily offering online and live classes. And so what a shift it's been, over all these years. But I love Reiki for so many reasons, and I'm just very excited to be here today and see where our conversation takes us.
Yes, me too. It's really amazing how I've been getting so much guidance recently to talk about Reiki. It wasn't necessarily my personal intention. I'm an artist. I do Reiki. I teach Reiki, but I was thinking, I'm going to be doing a lot with creativity and consciousness this year. And then the angels and guides just keep pointing me back to share Reiki. So it feels like the spiritual gift that we have to share in this time is super simple and precise. And Reiki, as I've heard you say in your videos, you have an amazing YouTube channel where you share Reiki. I'm so grateful for that, by the way.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
It has helped me so much and people that I know. And I feel like the generosity with which you share that is kind of the energy that we're talking about today, that Reiki is really peaceful and really supportive and such a perfect antidote to what we're all experiencing during this time in the last few years.
Well, first of all, thank you so much for that, Sarah. I never thought I'd have a YouTube channel, but you talk about guidance and following guidance. And I have to say that's that whole explanation, you know, from the creation of it and into the evolution of it, really. I have to agree with you wholeheartedly. And while art and creativity, I think, is fantastic for people to explore and perhaps even heal through and gain more creativity, but freedom of expression and things like that. I mean, the gifts from that are immense. But I think you bring up a really good point about Reiki and the times that we're in and in this prodding to share it. And, you know, it probably goes back to the YouTube channel. Really, I think it's all together. I don't think there was, I just don't believe in accidents, and I'm willing to bet you don't either. And we are in a time, I think, where for me, if we can remember that we're connected to each other, not just to source energy or whatever you want to call it, you know, spiritually speaking, but if I think the magic for our evolution, for our survival, for our ability to thrive as humans, I think it boils down to remembering how we are connected to each other. And to me, Reiki is an example of that. Reiki is inclusive. Reiki does not discriminate. Anybody can learn Reiki. Anybody can practice Reiki. Anybody can benefit from Reiki. There's no, admission fee as far as who you have to be. There's no, no one's excluded. The energy doesn't say, oh, okay, you can learn about me, but not you. Everybody's worthy. Everybody's deserving. And everybody is included in that. And I can't think of too many things that I can say that about, you know. And furthermore, the basis of Reiki is this universal life force energy. We all have that. And it's like, oh, well, then we're all included. And I think that having that example of inclusiveness can be a foundation for us to remember that we all are connected and that we can take responsibility and power into our own hands, literally, or better, whether it be physical, mental, emotional, or spiritual. So I could just keep talking forever, but I do think that it's no accident the times we're in, and it seems like Reiki is just gaining more and more steam as far as people finding out about it and seeking it out. And I'm so excited. It's such an exciting time, I think, to be involved with Reiki.
Yes, I totally agree. And I see it as like a healing balm that is being offered to us to share. Not only is it, like you said, available to all of us. We all have this power innately inside, and being trained to do it and being attuned is kind of like waking up, taking off the cloak and saying, okay, I'm going to use this other aspect of myself. But it's also for a lot of us to realize the power that we have to heal ourselves and others is very transformative for the planet. And Reiki can be used on animals. I've recently been instructed to use it on water, people, on ourselves. It's just amazing. It's very metaphysical and practical. So I wonder if we can ask you a few questions that are pretty basic. Like, I think you just explained what Reiki is, but I know that you also can explain it to people that have never experienced it before. So I think you might want to do that.
Right. Well, you know, it's funny. I have to chuckle because when I first learned Reiki, I didn't know anything about energy as far as our energy or spirituality, nothing. I was trained in physics. I have a bachelor's of science in physics. And when Reiki really found me, I thought energy was, you know, an X-ray or, you know, the thing that you plugged into when you plugged your lamp into the wall. I mean, that is what I thought energy was. And I think that we can describe Reiki in so many different contexts. You know, some people describe it more in spiritual terms. I tend to stay more in the I don't know, maybe
mainstream.
Yeah, mainstream. You're right. Yeah, thanks. Yes.
So this is the name of your business, Mainstream Reiki.
Yeah. Mainstream Reiki. Yeah. Yeah.
Great
Again,
title.
That came in, you know, that guidance, you know, and I just resonated so much with that idea of, I thought there was a day and I was wondering about Reiki, and what happened was, I thought, you know, Reiki's often thought of as New Age. And it doesn't need to be. And if it is kept in that definition of a New Age, you know, perhaps woo-woo type practice,
like
it's
other.
Going to, yeah, it's going to exclude people, right? And, you know, I just thought, that's not Reiki. Reiki doesn't exclude people. Who could benefit from Reiki? And I thought, mainstream people, that's where it's at. And that's where that whole mainstream Reiki idea came through. But, you know, put simply, I think what I would say is Reiki is spiritually guided life force energy. You might say universally guided life force energy. But that word is important because we aren't doing the healing. We are not the source of the energy. The energy has a sort of knowing, has a sort of wisdom to it. And so we're just the ones who bring it through. And I would say the word channel, we channel Reiki energy, you know, through us. We're not offering our own energy at all. Channel, some people, that sounds a little woo-woo and a little New Age. And so what I would just say, and I think we tend to choose our words appropriately for the audience, right? And so if you're talking to a nurse or a doctor, you know, at least if I do, I choose different words. And what I would say is that we all have this life force energy. And most people can say, oh, yeah, you know, we're animated, you know, we have an energy about us. And that energy flows in and around our bodies in energy pathways. So we might say chakras, we might say meridians and things like that, or we don't have to. But basically, we have this energy anatomy, these pathways for that life force energy to flow. And when it flows in a way that is in resonance to what the intention is, so it's flowing through the pathways the way it's designed to, we feel good. We feel in balance. We feel peace. We can handle what life brings us. But, you know, things happen in our lives, just being human, and we can have little upsets in life or large upsets in life, and even just physical injury, you know. So it could be emotional, mental, physical, any of these things. And that, having those events that affect us, can impede the flow of that energy through those pathways the way it's designed to. And when that happens, if we don't get back in balance with that flow, we'll begin to not feel good, you know, in some ways. And it can manifest in all different kinds of ways. But Reiki, and this is a really long answer to your question, but Reiki is just this technique. And I wouldn't even say technique. Reiki is a sort of practice that we engage in just to bring this source energy, this life force energy that is not our own, but we bring it through for the highest good of whatever it is we're offering it to. It could be a person, an animal, a plant, water, like you say, because this energy, you know, in my viewpoint, I hold the belief that this energy is creationary. And I don't even know if that's a word, but I do use that word. And it's just a basic component of all of creation, you know, this energy. So it is like a fish to water. So it's just natural. And that brings me to the next aspect of Reiki, which is it can do no harm. What can only do benefit and no harm? I can't think of anything. Plus, on top of that, add in that inclusivity again. And so, thirdly, we would add that Reiki does not require any beliefs. You don't even have to believe in Reiki to benefit from Reiki. Again, it's kind of sounds too good to be true. But you take those three things, the inclusivity, the it can't do harm, and, you know, no beliefs in anything, not even in Reiki, which could sort of fall in the inclusivity part of this equation. But I do want to give it separate airtime, so to speak, because I think that that's a big part of who we are as humans. We have a lot of beliefs. And so I do think it separating it out is important. And so Reiki, a practitioner, we can do this for ourselves. We can do this for others, but we're simply bringing through this high vibration, high frequency, universally guided life force energy for the highest good of ourselves or someone else. And that's it. We don't have to do anything. The energy does it. And that really goes counter to our thinking in, as humans, because, you know, we are so taught, are we not, that, you know, no pain, no gain, you know, that's a big collective consciousness sort of idea or belief, you know, back to the belief thing. But,
yeah.
You know, we're not used to getting any sort of result if we're not trying. And Reiki is an example of being, not doing. So we can bring through that energy. And what ends up happening is that person, let's just say we're going to offer it to another person, their energetic system, their life force energy that they're already, you know, that they already possess, knows exactly how to meet the Reiki energy that we bring through. It knows what to do, and wonderful things happen. So energy that was blocked up through those pathways can be loosened, can be released, and then the energy flows better. Yeah. And this creates, well, I would say in general, the most reported thing, at least from my experience, is the person feels very relaxed, very relaxed. And now in the, if we want to get a little more sciencey, we might explain that our nervous system has two modes. And one is fight or flight or sympathetic. And then the other side is the parasympathetic side of the nervous system. And so we have the fight or flight and then this other one. And the parasympathetic is often called the rest, digest, and restore mode of the body. Mm-hmm. Our cells need to spend time in that mode to do all of the functions that they need to do for us to have vitality, for our body to work properly. And I think that a big epidemic, you know, stressor that we, you know, we have all this stress in life, especially lately, you know, again, going back to the times that we're in. So we have more stress, more of a unique stress. But what happens with Reiki is it shifts the nervous system to the rest, digest, and restore mode. That's why we feel relaxed during Reiki. That's also why our stomachs might growl. We might have more saliva in our mouth when we're receiving Reiki because our digestive systems start ramping up. It's like, oh, we're gonna rest now. Oh, here we go. And if you think about all the different digestive issues in society, and then you realize we're probably going through life, a lot of us just eating whenever we can, right? We don't take our time to sit, to relax, to Reiki ourselves maybe even before we eat. And so if we're eating our food and we're in that fight or flight mode, which that's the stressed state, imagine what impact that may have on our digestion and our ability to absorb the nutrients that we are taking in. So is it any wonder about all of these issues that we have with the gastrointestinal system in today's day and age? So it's just, it's a huge topic, but so anyway, Reiki, spiritually guided life force energy, doesn't do harm, and it provides balance and relaxation for the recipient of it. And the body just naturally performs better in that relaxed state. And it also helps our immune system because we're not under the stress. So our immune system, all the systems of the body get a chance to take a break. And the body is so intelligent.
Yes.
It's so divinely, you know, inspired and constructed. And Reiki helps give people, animals, whoever is benefiting, that respite to reset and restore so that they can better respond to life.
Yes, the message I get is that it allows us to spend time in the vibration of love, essentially. So we are checking in, almost like the ideal sleep state, or in yoga nidra, or something that people might describe as like a deep state. I feel like Reiki is just instantly putting you into the frequency of, you know, extreme love, basically. And it's what we are made of, as you say. So it's a beautiful way to reset and ground yourself and heal ailments. And also, it's opened up a lot of psychic abilities for me and a lot of creativity for me. It exponentially has an effect. And we'll come back to this episode in just a minute. I'd love to share with you an intuitive painting workshop that I'm offering. It's going to be monthly going forward in 2022. The first date is January 7th at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, and 7 p.m. GMT. So this is a two-hour workshop where you will join me on Zoom with a group of other painters, and we will learn to paint intuitively together. We will allow consciousness to flow and be in flow. It includes a materials list, a guided visualization, and this group painting experience. So you can sign up for this live Zoom workshop on my website at sararoster.com/creativity. And I welcome anyone. So you don't have to be an artist to join. It will be amazing no matter what. And now back to our show. So I'm curious about your personal story. What has brought you to Reiki, and what are some of the magical experiences you've had personally, if you would like to share anything?
Sure. Well, when I first started with Reiki, I already told you, you know, how I came to it, and it was a family member visiting, and she was just talking all about Reiki. I didn't search it out. I didn't have an ailment that I was looking for help with, which does bring a lot of people to Reiki. You know, they're looking for a complementary modality or something to help them with an issue. I was just clueless. And my great aunt was visiting, and she was talking all about this Reiki thing. And I'm like, what are you talking about? But I was so curious about this and her stories and things like that. And she finally said, she says, well, I can teach you level one before I go home. And I was like, okay. So I learned it from her. My husband actually did too. We both did a little Reiki one class with her before she went home. And I felt nothing. I absolutely felt nothing. You know, people might talk about, you know, in Reiki, part of Reiki is the attunement process that you're attuned to the Reiki frequencies of energy that allows us to bring that through. And so the attunement process, just to keep it simple, it's sort of like a multi-step process in the traditional way. At least that's how I started. It's a multi-step method. It's meditative, I would say. And the Reiki master teacher is in the energy field of the student. And again, I was wanting to make this simple, but I don't know. How would you even say this?
Transmission is the word I hear.
Yeah, transmission. Yeah,
there's, I guess it's so. Like opening a door. I see a key going into a door, and there's several doors to walk through.
Right.
To really have the flow, and you're helping.
That's true. And part of the reason I'm having trouble with that is, you know, that's how I started with and was attuned in that method. And I've changed in how I practice Reiki, and I do holy fire Reiki now. And our whole attunement process is different. And so anyway, I'll set that aside, but it just resonates with me. But anyway, maybe we'll
deal
with that later.
I'm excited to hear about that too.
Okay, great. And so what happened was I felt nothing. And I thought, okay, so what am I supposed to do now? And I would practice with my husband, and he would say, oh yeah, I feel some tingling and warmth. And he would give me feedback, and I'd think, this is crazy. I mean, nothing. And he's reporting relaxation and these benefits and all of this and sensations. He's the reason I stuck with it, because if I wouldn't have had that feedback, and I have to imagine there were probably a lot of people out there over the years who did learn and didn't feel much and didn't get the feedback. And that really saddens me, because that was the key for me to stick with it and not think this is just, you know, a fairy tale or something like that. So I have a lot of gratitude for the fact that he took the training with me and allowed me to practice with him and gave me the feedback. So it was very instrumental. But you know, life got in the way. You know, we hadn't been married that long, and then his job changed, and you know, then kids came, and so you know, confessions of a Reiki master here. It wasn't like I had a big Reiki practice or anything back then, but it was on the back burner. It was always on simmer, is what I like to say for me. So it also opened me up to be more curious about these topics, about the metaphysical, about Reiki, about that world that I had been curious about metaphysical things before I learned Reiki, but it was so over there. But after I learned Reiki, it was more accessible to me. The curiosity sort of ramped up. And then what ended up happening was really the big turning point for me was it was several years later, and I was watching Oprah Winfrey, and I was a stay-at-home mom. I had a little boy, and I think he was about two-ish. One and a half, two. And I was watching Oprah. And Oprah had Carolyn Mace on her show. And for anybody who doesn't know, she's a world-renowned medical intuitive. And so I watched that episode and was floored. I just was, oh, you talk about curious. She could hear a person's name and their age, and she could diagnose them with a medical condition more accurately than a physician who spent an hour with the patient. And her accuracy rate was like 92%. I was like, wow. So I was so intrigued by that. And I was kind of sad when the show ended. And I thought, how does she do that? And I probably had a zillion questions going through my mind. Within a week's time, less than a week, I went to my mailbox to get my mail. And there was a full color postcard type thing from a company I'd never heard about before in my whole life, addressed to me. And it said, come to Egypt for a workshop with Carolyn Mace. And I was like, what?
Not just across the state line, but actually all the way to Egypt. That's great.
And something overtook me out in front of my house, you know, by my mailbox. I was just like, oh, I gotta go. And I wouldn't shut up. I was by myself. You know, my little boy was upstairs napping, and I just was sitting at my kitchen table going, oh, I gotta go. I gotta go. I gotta go. I gotta go. How am I gonna go? I don't know. And I just was in this state of energy. And then my poor husband came home, and I pounced on him as soon as he gets in the door, and I say, honey, I gotta go to Egypt. And he looked at me with the craziest look, but I have to say, he is phenomenal, and he's always, always supported me in my crazy ideas and, you know, whatever it is. And he, of course, had all these questions for me, and I don't blame him. I didn't really have many answers for him at the time, but he took vacation from work. He took 2 weeks off. He stayed at home with our little boy, and I went to Egypt.
Wow.
This trip. Yeah. And, you know, the workshop was on archetypes. I was young. I was just in my, I don't know, I have to do math, which I can't do talking to you, but I was probably in my mid-20s, didn't know anything about anything, you know, back then, but it was on archetypes and, you know, I could go on and on, but yeah. It was, I'll skip it.
Interesting teacher to me. I was just about to contact her, actually.
Oh, wow.
How interesting. She's on my list right next to your name of people to talk to.
Well, how about that? Because, you know, a little
cosmic alignment.
A little bit. Yeah. So what I'll say, I'll skip a little bit, you know, because again, I could just keep going and going. But the turning point with Reiki was really, we had a meditation, a sunrise meditation at the Sphinx, and it was towards the end of the trip. And I was not a meditator. I wasn't even that spiritual. I was very mainstream, you know. While I had curiosity and things like that, that was about it. There were a lot of people on the trip because we had, it was a tour that we were doing. So there was a group of us. And there were people that I just knew were very spiritual. And so I thought, what am I going to do at this meditation of the Sphinx? So I just decided to just copy the other people. you know, I didn't know. And so I did that. And when it was my turn, I went between the legs of the Sphinx and I just put my hands up on the Sphinx. And because that's what they had done when it was their turn. And I did that, and I just closed my eyes, and I took a deep breath, and all of a sudden, it was like a lightning bolt of knowing or something, you know, but a message very clearly came through that was not from my own brain, and it was, when you get back home, finish your Reiki training, just this idea, and I was very surprised. I hadn't thought about Reiki. Nothing. It was so out of the blue. But when I took that in, there it resonated with me. And I thought, oh, yeah, that feels like a good idea, you know? And so I went ahead and made plans. And that's when I got home, I got my little boy and we flew to gave my husband a break from staying home with him for 2 full weeks. But I took my little boy down with me and we visited my great aunt and I finished all my Reiki training in a week because she's the only Reiki person I knew. And at the time I lived in Pennsylvania and she lived in Texas. So I went down there and it was a whirlwind of a week, but I completed level 2 and then the master training all together.
What an amazing story. Well, I just got chills and a sort of tingly feeling as you described your experience with the Sphinx and getting this message. And that's so beautiful and amazing that you had to go to Egypt to find that out. It feels, I mean, because my audience is used to me talking about past lives and psychic stuff, I guess, but it's okay for us to talk about it. It may not be mainstream, but it feels like you were being called there to receive a transmission to connect to something that you already knew, but it's like in this lifetime, it's time to do this work again. It's very beautiful. I believe that a lot of people that are Reiki masters have done it before.
Yeah, you know, I have to say, I was so young back then, and I wish I could remember more of every little thing that we did. And, you know, I feel like I have so much more focus and presence now, you know, than I did then. And, but we did some amazing things there. I think part of it was I needed to be out of my routine. I needed to be out of my everyday so that I could be in a place of neutrality, so that when I did receive the guidance, it was very clear. It stood out very much. And yeah, and while psychic-y things might not be, quote, mainstream, what I would say is it most definitely really is, because we all do have intuition. We all are being guided, whether we're aware of it or not, whether we listen or not. But, you know, to me, it's there. It's just, you know, how aware we are. And also in mainstream, we don't normally perhaps talk about it so openly, but that's changing. That is, I think, really changing.
Yes. And I wonder, how has it increased your psychic or intuitive awareness? It sounds like, I imagine what you just said, like you're much more grounded now just from doing Reiki and from your practice. But in addition, I wonder what else has changed for you.
Well, after I guess we're going to go back to Egypt for a minute, because that again, that was a turning point in that whole psychic realm for me. So it was before the Sphinx, and it was about 3 a.m. or so. And I woke up and I had all of these thoughts just in my mind. I mean, like alphabet soup, you know, just, and it made me like my head was swimming. That's how I would say, with just different random thoughts. And I couldn't be settled down. And all I could think of was grab my notebook and pen. And then I went and sat on the bathroom floor, because I actually had the pleasure of going to Egypt with my stepmom. She accompanied me on the trip and we shared a room, and I didn't want to wake her up by turning a light on. So I went in the bathroom, sat on the floor, and I just thought, you know, to get my notebook out, and I started writing. And I mentioned a moment ago that the workshop was about archetypes, and archetypes are themes that can show up in our lives. So we may, I don't know, you might have a better definition of archetypes, Sarah.
I think that what you're saying makes a lot of sense. And it makes sense, too, that you were there to investigate something and then you would get a lot of information about it. And also, I see the pattern of your process of, like, right before we have a big opening, often we are just flooded. It's almost like the stages of meditation. You're flooded with all the things that are ready to be released and cleared. And sometimes you don't even need to take stock, and other times writing them down can help.
Right, right. Well, what I did, I wrote on the notebook, on the paper, you know, what is my archetype? And immediately, I mean, it's like before I even finish the question, I'm receiving an answer. And I'm thinking, this is weird. Never done anything like this in my life. And the answer was Moses. And I was like, what? You know, in the workshop, we were talking about archetypes like victim, child, you know, things like this. And so I get Moses. And so in my analytical linear mind, I'm like, well, that isn't even an archetype, you know? So I'm being a little argumentative in my brain, but I write it down and I say snarky. And so I asked in my mind, well, why Moses? You know, because I just thought I was making this up and trying to be all self-important or something. And before I could get it all out, asked, here it came. And the message that came through, the answer was, because you're meant to help deliver people to a better place. And as I wrote that down, I thought, whoa, that's pretty good, you know? And I'm thinking, this is just crazy. So then the next question I asked in my snarky attitude was, well, if we're going to do all stars of the Bible, you know, because I was in disbelief of the whole thing. So if we're going to do all stars of the Bible, why am I not the Jesus archetype? You know, why do I not have the Jesus archetype? Again, before I finish, the answer came through, because you're not meant to sacrifice yourself in doing this. And then I was pretty much dumbfounded on the bathroom floor in Egypt at 3:30 a.m., you know. It made so much sense. I didn't know what on earth to do about that, you know. It resonated. There was a truth to it. I knew I had not made that up. But what do you do with that, you know? So I just put it on simmer, you know, with everything else. Then I had my Sphinx thing, and then did my Reiki training. And then when I got home, back to Pennsylvania, I was pretty committed to really practicing regularly. And I didn't have any family, you know, outside my husband and I still had one child. I didn't have any family around or anything, and I didn't know too many people. I was just a stay-at-home mom. So I got really into distance Reiki. And distance Reiki, of course, we can offer Reiki over time and space. You know, it's the energy isn't bound. And so I used to really practice distance Reiki. And when I would do that, it would be late at night after our son was in bed and I had some time, and I would sit on my living room floor. And I had, of course, even from when I was little, I was always fascinated with psychic stuff and, you know, I think back in the day, I think ESP was more of a popular term, extrasensory perception, right? And I was so curious about that. And I never thought I could really do that, but it just intrigued me. And I remember I was practicing a distance Reiki session for my great grandmother, who lived in Texas and was quite elderly. And I got images of her legs in my mind. I got the word edema showed up in my mind. I could see in my mind's eye her legs, and they were so stretched. The skin was so stretched, and there was mottling, you know, discoloration on her legs. And I had that edema word, and I wrote it down. But the really weird thing was I had such an excitement over it. And not over it. I had such an excitement with it. It was true. There was this truth vibration. And I remember I sat there and I thought, what is happening? Because I thought, if I had just made that up, well, first of all, I didn't know what edema was. I just had the word. So I thought, yeah, I don't even know what that is. And way back then, I mean, the internet and Googling, I mean, it was a totally different thing. I probably had a laptop maybe at that time. But so it wasn't like I ran to my computer to Google it. But I just remember sitting there, and I wanted to call my grandmother, you know, her daughter, and share this with her. And I had a knowing and an excitement that she would confirm it. And I thought, that is so weird. Why on earth would I feel that way? It doesn't make any sense. But I had the excitement. I end up calling my grandmother the next day, and guess what? It's completely accurate. The visual, the word, you know, the diagnosis, all of this stuff. And again, I sat there kind of like on the bathroom floor, like, okay, what does that mean and what now?
Yeah.
And I really, back then I was such a purist about Reiki, and I thought that, you know, the intuition, the psychic part, I was very much not into that part of it, which is weird. I just never realized back then what I know now, that, you know, you just can't separate that stuff out, you know, at least from my perspective. The attunements.
You had trained with Carolyn Mace in essence, right? She's a medical intuitive. Like, the words that we use sometimes, psychic can feel very out there, medical intuitive in the middle. Like, this knowing that you received was related to the ability to sense what people are experiencing.
That's true. You know, I have to say, though, the workshop with her wasn't an instruction about that. So I couldn't say, yeah, yeah.
It was held more, the space, I guess, is what I'm feeling.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, the energy.
She welcomed you into her universe.
Yes, that's very true. Yeah, that's really true. And I just was intrigued. And then I started looking around in my community for any classes I could take. So I remember I took a class, and it was on a lady. It was a few weeks long, like maybe a month long. It was weekly, and one of the subjects we did was aura reading, which I could never do that in the class. But I just wasn't very good at any of the stuff, you know, that I tried with her. And then I took another class, and it was all about, it was based on lowering the brain waves, you know, because again, I'm a sciencey person. So it's basically getting into alpha state, at least lowering the brain waves turns down the volume for us. So meditation can do this, right? But I started to learn a technique to just do that, to just go there without a big meditation practice or whatever. I like shortcuts, you know, I admit it. And the idea of meditating or whatever is like, oh, that's more of a spiritual thing. This is just mind-body connection, which I really liked that. I was attracted to that. And so anyway, I started exploring that. Well, you can heal. You can do healing work from that way. Well, you can do healing work through Reiki. And the weird thing was, I took lots of different kinds of trainings, lots of different modalities. But in the end, I just always came back to Reiki. It seemed like it was almost, not really, I have to quantify this, but there's something about Reiki inherent in all of the other things that I learned. And Reiki's simple. And I've never found that I really needed anything past Reiki. It's fun to learn other modalities. It's fun to practice different things. And it's fun to explore those other things. But, you know, I was really meant, you know, to do what I'm doing now. And that is all about Reiki.
Yeah. When you were talking about Moses as the message, I heard this song in my head. It goes, children, go where I send thee. Where shall I send thee? So it's true what you said. You know, you were called to serve in this way, to lead people to healing. And it's really a beautiful calling. And I see that you've done so much work, too, through all of your trainings and your experience and your lifetime, to, in the process of learning these modalities, we're also healing ourselves, and that makes us better vessels to offer this energy. I like how you describe, you know, it's not me, I'm offering this, it flows through me. But when your container is very clear and you've done a lot of clearing and healing work, then I feel like the transmission is also can be more clear. I wonder if you can talk a little bit about that. I know this is a bit more complex, but what do you do? Maybe that would be the starting point, daily practices to clear one's energetic field or mind, or to prepare to practice Reiki, or after Reiki, do you do any sort of clearing?
Yeah, so this is going to be probably unexpected. I really don't do a lot. I really do not. I don't. I have never been one. I'm not a should person. And so if I, and that has a positive and a negative to it, of course, because I should exercise every day. I don't, you know, but I just don't like the should energy. I don't like the burden of that. And so what I'll say is I have different things that I like to do, and I choose from the basket.
Sure.
Instead of doing something planned each day or whatever it is. Now, one of the things I do is I have a distance Reiki crystal grid. And so I do charge that. I have a lot of names, you know, people request to be in the grid. And so I have a responsibility that I embrace, and that is to keep that grid charged and flowing and supporting them. So that is something I do.
That's beautiful. I don't actually know a lot about that. I mean, I see it visually when you describe it, and I see how it works, but that's a beautiful thing that you offer.
Oh, thanks. And so I will charge that. But I generally, what I do is I wake up very early in the morning, and then I don't rush. I just lay there and I look out my window. It's dark and I have huge trees outside, and I just watch. I tune into myself. I tune into energy a lot of the time. Sometimes I don't, but other times I call in Reiki during that time. And I just am. I just am there. I don't have an agenda. And I see what comes up for me. And so I might have more of a busy mind. A worry might come in, or a memory might come in. And I'm very aware in those first moments of the day. And I observe what is going on for me at that time. And I don't push things away. If there's something unpleasant, I look at it. Because I'm a big believer in noticing our aversions. And so if I want to repel a thought, I need to investigate that. And I think that that goes a long way. I think if I were to say, you know, in answer to your question, I think really what I'm doing that helps me is I am honest with myself about what I'm feeling, and I allow it to be. I think what can really impact people in a negative way is the aversion, because that leads to so many behaviors that are not healthy for us.
Very well said. That's so beautiful. And I see what you were saying before about just being. And I feel that from you when you are offering Reiki on your YouTube channel. Your great gift, in addition to all of your insight, and you're such a natural teacher, but your tuning into just being is extremely powerful. And would you say that that's kind of the trick to being a good Reiki practitioner when you train your students, is to be present? I mean, when I've learned different healing modalities through yoga training, I was taught to be with what is while it is the way it is. not doing, not sending, not taking, but just be in your body and stay present. And I feel like that was one of the gems of my trainings and has helped me with Reiki. And I teach that to my students is, your job is to be present, not to do, to stay in the body, to allow the energy to flow through. And I feel when I see you giving Reiki that you're extremely present. And I also suspect that you're giving Reiki through your eyes. Maybe you want to talk about that for a second.
Yeah. So, you know, it took me a long time on the YouTube channel to even do a distance session. I started the channel, I think it was the summer of 2019, I think. June something. And I never knew about if those videos worked. You know, I knew people did them on there, and I was not a YouTube person, not really into that stuff. And my husband would watch YouTube and to learn about different things. And so I wasn't really familiar with it, but it was his idea to start the YouTube channel. My wonderful husband, and I had just seen a full day of clients at my office, and I come home. Our whole house is ripped up because our whole upstairs, because we were remodeling. And so our kitchen was obliterated, you know, so we had a lot of stress. And so I come home from all these clients all day. I come home and I go find him downstairs in the basement. And he says, "Honey, I think you should start a YouTube channel." And I was like, "What? You know, I have no kitchen. You know, what are we even going to eat for dinner tonight? And now you think I should do a YouTube channel?" So I just was like, "That's crazy." But he's got really great ideas, you know, and he's wise. And so I tend to listen to him and at least consider what he has to say. And why I went there was there's a part of me that wants to convey that anybody can do this, you know? I so believe that. When I started the channel, I didn't know anything about what I was doing, and you can learn as you go. So whether we're talking about YouTube or a new skill or a new career or Reiki or whatever it is, just start it. Just start it. I didn't know that the video would even work. But I had said a lot on the channel, you know, it was all informative stuff. And I kind of reached a point and I thought, I'm going to try this.
It's time. Yeah.
And so I did. It was a terrible quality video. You can hear the clock ticking. I mean, it was really bad. And I remember I was there. I had my laptop, and that's why the image wasn't very good. And that video has been watched, I couldn't tell you. It's my number one video on YouTube. And that video, I'm going to look it up real quick because
I watched it last night, actually.
Did you? Did the clock bug you?
No, none of the things that you noticed bothered me. I think it's a great video. And so I think that's funny. I feel like that's really cool that you just did it, you know, but what comes through is the Reiki, right? And your presence. And you're just being, and so all the other details fall to the side, and it's beautiful that people, it's a testament to the experience that people really receive it, and you're very normal, but then you're sharing something that's very profound, and it's effortless.
Well, I thank you for that. Yeah, I just looked it up. It's over 413,000 views. I mean, I can't even wrap my head around that, really. And the response of people and then when they say how the different ones have helped them, and what an honor, you know. And I have to say that that's always how I approached every session I've ever done with a person or an animal, that it's an honor. And I think that if a practitioner practices from that place, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
I think that if I were to say one thing and you asked me like, well, what would you tell your students? It is to remember that. What an honor and a privilege to offer Reiki to another being, you know? And if to me, if I can do that, I don't know a better way to serve. I don't know a better way to connect. And the other thing I'm going to say is a big focus for me is empowerment. And that's also, I think, what is behind my eyes in the video is I don't ever use the word healer to describe me. I'm not a healer. I offer Reiki, you know, and I think the experience can be healing for a person, but it isn't, I'm not doing anything and just offering. But as I offer, I do two things, I guess. And one of them is I just want whoever is watching, whenever they're watching, wherever, that they are helped for their highest good. So that is my intention. I feel the honor that here I'm going to put this out and, you know, someone out there is going to watch it. I feel like that is a connection. That is a real connection. I also feel that I want to be an empowering presence. It isn't about coming back to my videos over and over or, you know, which is great. You know, I don't mean to discount that, but I'm hoping to somehow support people in recognizing that the light that they might see in me is in them too. Yeah. And that's where it is. That to me, that's the magic. And that's one reason I love to teach Reiki. And that is an honor in and of itself. And then lastly, the last thing that is really coming through me, and you said, you know, you're probably sending Reiki with your eyes. I am, but I would invite all Reiki practitioners to, instead of thinking about we offer Reiki through our hands, we offer Reiki through our eyes, Gyoshiho, the Japanese Reiki technique, that we just are Reiki. And if it helps you to imagine yourself unzipping your physical manifestation and just being Reiki, emanating Reiki, not anything based on the physicality, but just the presence.
Yeah.
So that's really kind of what I'm doing. But and then this last thing is love. I love them. I as I'm looking into the camera, I am loving them. And I know it might sound odd to some people, but I so believe that there is light in every person. I don't care what they've done. I don't care, you know, what they think. It is like Reiki, non-discriminatory.
Yeah.
Every person has light. And again, it doesn't matter what they do, what they have done, haven't done, whatever. The light is still there. The light is still there. And I'm honoring, I'm recognizing that light through anything of who they might express themselves as. That to me doesn't matter. And so that's my process, you know, for the videos.
Oh, that's just incredibly beautiful. And it just encapsulates, I think, your philosophy on life and the great gift that you are sharing with people. I've learned so much from talking to you. Thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome. You're so well. As you can tell, I just love talking about Reiki because, you know,
what's your natural form.
Yeah. I mean, there's so much, it's boundless in so many ways. And,
Do you want to talk just quickly about the holy fire trainings that you offer or what that is? How is that different from anything else that people might be familiar with?
Well, when I first learned Reiki, I learned Usui Tibetan Reiki, and that was great. And then I remember Holy Fire came out and I was like, what, you know? And I also do a podcast and we have a whole episode about different styles of Reiki. And so we do talk more about that. So
I can link to that. Yes.
Yeah, that'd be great. That'd be great. Because I go into more depth with that, you know, this whole holy fire thing. And my co-host Kathleen also shares her feelings about it too. So it's a double dose, you know, of insight, I guess. But holy fire is really quite remarkable because I guess just for one example is the attunement process. And we don't call it attunement anymore. We call it a placement, and that's for level one and level two. And then for the master symbol, there's also a placement in the master class. But at the master level, for the holy fire, we call that ignitions. So we have placements and ignitions, just different terminology. But why do we need a different term? Well, the process is very different. And I would say the teacher simply begins a short guided meditation and then is quiet for about 15 to 25 minutes or so, quiet and not doing a thing except allowing. Which is so Reiki, right? Not doing, being. And so, but here's the big, big, big difference. The energy meets with each student completely directly and uniquely wherever they are. The energy doesn't come through the master teacher to the student. The energy meets directly with them. And I love that because every person is worthy to meet directly with the source of Reiki. There's another person in the equation really isn't necessary. So the teacher simply provides an opportunity for the energy to meet with them. And then whatever is in their highest good for that process takes place. Now, doesn't that sound exactly like a Reiki session?
Yes, yes. Those are the same principles by which
it is, except the energy really isn't channeling through the teacher at all. The teacher's more of a facilitator, and I was going to say observer, but it's actually best if the teacher just doesn't even have anything at all to do with it. Isn't that crazy?
Well, it makes sense. Really good teachers kind of hold the space for you to have your own growth experience. And we each have our unique connection to source. And the way that it comes through can only be filtered through our experience. And I try to do the same thing when I'm teaching. It's like I'm holding the space for you, get out of the way a bit, but also help you to voice the questions or, you know, observations you might need. And especially what you'd mentioned about your husband, someone to get that feedback from of like, do you feel anything? Because my mind is not believing that I'm doing this. Like, I think that's the biggest thing for new Reiki students is that process you described yourself going through of like, I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, but I'm not feeling anything. So there's several reasons why we are taught not to feel in our society, but we may also just need feedback.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's such a great point too, what you said about not feeling, you know, that we're often not taught that. Yeah. That's very insightful. And so the way this holy fire is is learned is very different. And interestingly enough, that style of attunement, I'll just use that word, but the placements and ignitions came about well before the pandemic. And so I was teaching in-person classes in that style, and it was great, you know, but then fast forward and then the pandemic comes, it works beautifully online because you're not having, you know, in the traditional style, we even had what was called violet breath, where we would actually even exhale with intention at the crown of the student's head. And so, you know, it was a physically interactive process. And again, no accidents. And so it was very seamless. It was very natural for me to go online with the classes. And, you know, you talk about needing feedback, and we can do all that online. And it, the students are amazed that they're feeling things. And they say, we do exercises in the breakout rooms. If you're familiar with Zoom, I'm getting kind of off in the weeds here with details, but we pair up, you know, for some exercises, and there's only two people in their little Zoom room, and they work together. And then we come back in the main room and we discuss it. And I love it when they come back, they have the most excited faces. They can't believe it, that the, what they're experiencing and the fact that it's online just blows them away. And it's just, I don't know. I'm just beaming because, again, there's just nothing better, I don't think, you know, than teaching Reiki.
And it's empowering, as you said, is your mission. Mm-hmm. You're really empowering people. And in those moments where they feel it and they have a partner they're working with, it's such a beautiful thing to watch when they feel the empowerment. And that is just something they will take with them forever.
Yes. Yes.
A beautiful gift. Not only do they now have the ability to heal, but they have this belief in the experience, this ethereal thing that we cannot see or sometimes prove or quantify at all times. This is an important skill for humans to be able to check into these things that are super empowering.
Yeah. Well, when a student says, I'm doing this, I can do this, I mean, that's just beautiful. It is beautiful. Those words, I can do this. It's like, yes, you can.
Yeah. That's beautiful too. It reminds me of being a parent. Sometimes easier with students. Well, Andrea, I really appreciate your time. It's so generous for you to spend time with us, and I'm happy to share all of your offerings in the show notes. And would you just like to share any way that you would like people to contact you if they're interested in learning more?
Absolutely. Thank you again as well for the invitation, Sarah. It's just been lovely, lovely talking with you. Well, my website probably is the one-stop place, you know, where you can pretty much find everything. And that's mainstreamreiki.com. And the YouTube channel, that's just called Mainstream Reiki. So I'm just keeping it simple. Yeah. And I did mention the podcast. And so I'll let you know that, because that's a little bit different name. And that is Beyond the Reiki Gateway. And we have a website as well, but we're on all the major podcast apps, you know, like this one, I'm sure is. But we do have a website, beyondthereikigateway.com. And, you know, we named it that because, you know, so many people will learn Reiki like I did. And then it opens up this whole gateway to this whole other world, right? Of possibilities of other modalities, you know, different subjects to explore. And so that's kind of what we do there on the podcast. But it's just a nod to that. Reiki is a gateway modality, I think, for a lot of people.
Yeah. And you don't have to be in the healing realm. You can be a scientist. You can be an artist. You can be you know, anything. And still, we're human. We all benefit from this practice, whether we use it professionally or on ourselves or just experience it as a recipient. It's really profound.
Yeah. Yeah. I so agree. And a lot of people I meet, and even my students, they'll think, you know, that there's an expectation or something about, well, they have to become teachers, they have to open up a practice. And you know what? No, because the beauty of Reiki is it can be everywhere and in everything. So be a social worker and use Reiki, you know, be a nurse and use Reiki, be, I don't know, an accountant, an artist, right? But be an engineer, you know, because that's the magic, because the more people that are attuned to this flow of Reiki, the more people embodying Reiki that are out in the community doing mainstream jobs, you see there's power in that. So that we're just not in a little Reiki practice and that's all the, no, it's everyday people tuned in.
Yeah.
Embodying and being. That's how we change the world. I really believe that.
I believe absolutely that is what you are doing. And I'm so happy that you were joined us today to talk about this. It's super. Well, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you again, Sarah. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for listening to today's episode. I wanted to share that I'm going to be offering a group Reiki training starting in 2022. So if you're interested to find out more about learning Reiki and having the support of others, giving you feedback, working in a group setting through Zoom, and having guidance along the way and receiving Reiki attunements, please go to my website, sararossiter.com/Reiki, to find out more. Thank you for listening to the Psychic Artist Podcast. To learn more about me, you can go to sararossiter.com, on Facebook at the Psychic Artist Podcast, and on Instagram at srossiterstudio. Thank you for listening, and many blessings.